Thank you, ladies, for reading God's Word this morning. And thank you to all of our Adventure Club and Pathfinders who have taken part in our worship service. Amen? I hope I'm young enough to be a part of Adventure Club Sabbath and can be up here and speak. I am very grateful to all of our Adventure Club leaders and directors. My wife is a director. I asked her if she wanted to preach today, but she said she'd let me go ahead and handle that. But I am very grateful to all of the parents and everyone who has worked so hard this week in this year in Adventure Club and in Pathfinders. As you can see, they have a lot of fun, and the Lord is blessing. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, we have come before you now because we want to listen to you. Thank you, Lord, for being willing to speak. Now help us to be willing to listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the life of a minister is not easy. I know it looks easy, but it's really not. Beyond the visits and all the committee meetings that you have to do every week, there is a sermon delivery date looming every week. It's like the equivalent of writing a term research paper every week. So as a result, pastors have to constantly be looking to find ways to write better sermons, constantly buying study books or looking for stories enabled to help the message of the Bible become real. So as a pastor, I've invested quite a bit in finding help materials in order to write sermons. But the greatest investment that I ever made in sermon prep was not a book. It wasn't a college class either. My greatest investment for stories and ideas for sermons came when God gave me kids. They're just older now, so I have to ask permission in order to tell the stories. But I've learned so much from them, from seeing the world through their eyes. And I believe, my church, that we can learn a lot and be blessed by everyone at church. Amen? The wisdom of the aged, the stableness of the mature adult, the energy of youth, and then the passion and the faith, even of a child. We are blessed in this church to have people that we can learn from of all ages. Well, let's look this morning into God's Word, and let's see what we can learn from a child. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to invite you to open them up, or if yours doesn't open up but it powers on, do that too. Turn them on and open them up, and let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 5 today, and let's see if we can learn a lesson from a child. Now, 2 Kings chapter 5, the first person that we meet in this story is actually not a child, but in verse 1, we meet a soldier. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor." We start off meeting Naaman, someone that the Bible calls a great man, captain of the army. And it's interesting that this great man was not an Israelite. He was not the captain of Israel's army, but of the foreign king of Syria. And the Bible says that God even gave this foreign army victory through Naaman. So right off the bat in this story, we're reminded that God is in control. Not just in the control of Israel, but God is in control ultimately of all the nations of the world. It's easy to forget that God is sovereign. We look at the mess of this world, we see the problems in our lives, the corruption, the violence in this world, and it's easy to forget that God still rules the nations. But there is someone special that we haven't met yet in this story. Someone who had every right and every reason to forget that God was in control. And yet, she still remembered. But first, though, we have to begin this story with Naaman, captain of the foreign army. And look at how the Bible describes him. Just look at verse 1 with me, if you would. He's called a great man. He's highly respected. He's victorious. He's a valiant warrior. But then comes the but. Had all these great things going for him, but one big problem. At the end of verse 1, but he was a leper. Even though he was a great man, he had an even greater problem. He had a disease called leprosy. So it's a skin disease. And back then, leprosy many times was a death sentence to a person. And not just a death sentence, but it would be a slow, agonizing death that a person would have. It was also very contagious. So many times they had to be separated from their family and from their loved ones. So here's the plot of the story. Here's the problem. Now, many stories that we read or books and movies that we may watch, typically, and there you have, what do you have? The damsel in distress that needs rescuing, or you have the child who needs someone to help. And then, sure enough, come riding in on his mighty steed is the hero, the captain of the army, someone like Naaman. But in this story of the Bible, who's the hero? Is it Naaman? Or is it the captain, the hero, who needs help? It's actually the mighty hero of the story who needs saving. And who comes to his aid? 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 2 introduces the true hero of the story. Verse 2 says, "And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel." It's where we find the true story, the true hero of the story. Who is it? Who's going to swoop in and save the day? A little girl. And not just a little girl, but to Naaman, it would be a foreign little girl, a slave girl from Israel. Can a child be a hero in the Bible? Can children help with the cause of Christ, church? Could our children be involved in ministry and helping others? Well, over the years, I have seen children step up to the plate when God called them. And I have seen the ministry of little ones. We just have to have our eyes open because they're ready and they're waiting. A couple years ago, I was at the dinner table and I was going through some emails and I found a prayer request on my email. And so I started to pray silently while I was there at the table. And sitting next to me was little Johanna. And she was just a small little girl. And she was having a snack. But she saw me fold my hands and bow my head. And she said, "Daddy, I want to talk to Jesus too." And so I stopped. And I smiled. And I prayed with her again. And we prayed out loud together. Church family, pray with your kids. I learned from my little girl that they want to be involved. Let them be involved in ministry. There was another day I got to see her desire for ministry again because we were driving in the car and got stopped at a stoplight. And Johanna was in the back. She was only about 4 years old at the time. And a very friendly young gal is my daughter. And so she turned to the lady in the car next to us and said, "Hello." And of course, there was no response because our window was all rolled up and so was the other lady's. But undeterred, Johanna said, "Excuse me." She's going to make a great head greeter someday. Children can do ministry. They can reach out in ways that some of us older folk maybe have a hard time doing. This little servant girl of Naaman, she becomes the hero of the story. Now, we don't know her name, but we do know what she did. Verse 3 says, "Then the little girl said to her mistress, 'If only "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." She let Naaman know that he could be healed by God's prophet. And let's stop right there, friends, because this is amazing. It's so we so get so quick to the whole dipping in the water that we miss this amazing part of the story. Remember in verse 2, this little girl was taken captive. She was snatched from her home, from her family, and she ends up a slave. She had every right to be bitter, didn't she? Every right to be angry, both at Naaman and at God. Her home is destroyed. Her parents are gone. She becomes a servant. Now her master is going to die from leprosy. She could have thought, "Ha! Serves him right for attacking my home. God's getting even with this jerk." Is that what she did? Instead of letting bitterness well up in her heart at what had happened in her life, she chose to come to the rescue, and she becomes the hero. She tells them of her God who can heal. What faith, right? What faith? She says, "My God can heal you." What love she had in her heart. Now, friends, we don't know her backstory. We don't know about her parents, but I believe this is evidence that her parents must have talked to her about God. They must have taken the time to teach them. They followed what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, where it says, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, lest you depart with your heart all the days of your life, and teach your children, teach them to your children and to your grandchildren." This young girl was taught about God's power, and she was taught about God's grace, his ability to save. It is never too early to start teaching our young people about God, and then let them get involved and start leading. And just watch what they can do with that young, precious, powerful faith. Now, you do have to guide them as you teach them about the Bible. You do have to give them some guidance. Because years ago, I was teaching Johanna about the story of Peter going out and fishing all night, and they fish all night long, and they can't catch any fish. And they're so depressed when they come back. And so I told her that story. You have to be careful as you share Bible stories. Because later that afternoon, I heard in the other room, I heard Johanna playing, and she was saying, "I can't catch fish. I just can't catch any fish. I can't catch them." And I thought, that's neat. She's enacting the Bible story. Then I went into the other room, and there she was, a little fishing net in her hand, her arm completely stuck into our aquarium, trying to catch two little terrified platies that were in there. "I just can't catch the fish." Aquarium fish water all over the place, all over her. So I picked her up and took her to the bathroom and had to explain that we don't actually go fishing in the aquarium. You have to be careful as you share stories of the Bible. They're ready to learn. Do you want your child? Do you want your child to have the faith of Naaman's servant girl? To be willing to help others and to testify about God even when living in hard times? If you want your child to have that faith, then we have to start teaching them now, right now. Amen? That's why we start our Bible study classes. Our Sabbath school classes don't start when they reach 10. It starts when they reach day one. In beginner Sabbath school, we bring the babies here and we start teaching them as soon as they come. That's why we have Adventure Club and Pathfinders. Even the young ones need to be taught. So my church family at home, teach them. Teach your kids about God. Teach other people's kids about God when you get a chance. Neighbor kids. Help your children at home learn to memorize Scripture. There's nothing more powerful in their life than to learn these sacred words. Help them to learn and memorize Scripture. I remember at the dinner table another day, Jeanette had been working with Johanna. A lot of Johanna stories today. And Jeanette had been working with Johanna on memorizing Scripture, and so she said, okay, Johanna, do you want to tell Daddy your Scripture verse for this week? And she said, okay, Mommy. And so Jeanette said, you know, repeat after me. And Jeanette said, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. It's a great verse, amen? It's a great verse, and Johanna said, repeated the verse with great gusto, it is awful to do good on the Sabbath day. I said, oh, wait a second. We missed out on the extra L in that verse. Let's try again. It's good to teach your kids. There's another time we were learning a memory verse, and Johanna repeated it perfectly this time, and she said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. She finished the verse, and she said, Daddy, I'm going to be the princess someday. I said, amen, you are. Teach your children. They're ready to learn. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 3, Naaman hears about going to Israel. He hears that he could be healed. And then God uses the prophet Elijah to heal this mighty warrior of leprosy. He goes down 7 times, and he comes back up on the 7th time. The disease is gone. But listen to the reaction. 2 Kings chapter 5, in verse 15. Listen to what Naaman now says. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and he came and stood before him and said, indeed, now I know there is no God in the earth except in Israel. He says, now I know. Naaman became a believer in God. But that belief doesn't happen without the faith of a little servant girl. This awesome miracle doesn't happen without a little girl who says, there's someone who can help. A little girl who trusted God, even though she'd lost her home, even though she'd lost her family, she said, God can help. We need to teach our children. We need to teach the next generation about God's power and His grace. And then, friends, we've got to get them involved in ministry. That's why we do days like today. Amen? We've got to get them involved. One day years ago, Johanna came to me and she was concerned. She was worried. She said, Daddy, the Disney princesses don't know about Jesus. I said, oh, maybe somebody should tell them. Later that afternoon, I peeked in Johanna's room. She had all her Disney princesses lined up, and she stood in front of them, her Bible open, and she was teaching them about Jesus. They're ready to share. Children are ready to talk about God. Not just Johanna. Ethan came up to me years ago, and he said, Dad, when is Jesus going to come and get us? It was very serious. When is he going to come and get us? I'm a pastor, so I gave him a very biblical answer. Soon. Undeterred, he said, but why? Why doesn't he just come already? I've been waiting forever. He was 4 at the time. I said, well, Jesus is waiting because more people need to hear. More people need to hear about his love and his plan to save. And his reply was, well, we need to get out there and tell people. Amen. The faith of a child. I think we need that today. Amen. I agree with Ethan. We need to get out there and we need to tell people about Jesus. That's why we are here every Sabbath, to learn in order to share. That's why we have Sabbath school. It's why we have Adventure Club and Pathfinders. This is why I'm going to be leaving in just a couple weeks to go to Tennessee and record some DVD Bible studies of the thunder in the Holy Land so that you can use them to share with others. This is why we're preparing and planning to have an exciting Vacation Bible School program this July. And folks, we're going to need your help. It takes an army to put this ministry on. So if you want to be a part of it, come up here after the service. Charlene will meet you and help you get involved. This is why we're going to team up with all the other churches here in the area this fall to do the God in Shoes program that you heard in the announcement time. Because there are people who want to know what you know. They may just not know that they want to know it yet. That's why we do ministry. We are called by God not to damage a little one's faith, but to help it grow. And then to give their faith a chance to be put into action and to give them a chance to be part of ministry. That's why I'm so thrilled that this is a church that says we want our kids up front. We want them giving the prayer. We want them singing. We want them a part of everything we do. This is why our children help with Vacation Bible School. This is why I want kids to help with God in Shoes and evangelism series. We need them. The faith of a servant girl, brought the good news of God's power and grace to the country of Syria. What will our faith do? Friends, can God use our faith to shine in this world? If we let our children get involved, if we teach them, and then if we let them lead, there is no limit, no limit for what God can do with this church and with you. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you so much for a little girl who so many years ago said, I got an answer, and my answer is God. And Lord, I don't know her name, but I look forward to one day finding out what her name is and hearing more about her story, because it's from her faith that belief in you spread to a whole different nation. So Lord, what about us? What can our faith do? I thank you, Lord, for these little ones that are among us. May they inspire us to get involved and to share our faith. And then, Lord, as we all get involved in ministry, may we have that faith of a little servant girl who says, I know that there is someone who can help. There is a God in heaven who still heals and still helps. Lord, we ask for that faith. And then help us, give us the courage to put that faith into practice and help change this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.